boardroom with the app.
There we go. We're good. Sorry. Okay.
Oh, okay. All righty.
All right, then, Peter, I've got one. This is Matt again. I've got one additional item I'd like to add.
Great. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you. So good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you. You all may have seen an invitation. I think it came out yesterday from Commissioner Katie Dyke's office at DEEP, looking to co-host a meeting with CROG next Tuesday, the 28th. I think it's from 9 to 10 a.m. Anyhow, the commissioner is doing this around the state, cog by cog, where she is seeking to provide an update on their work, the department's work in the area of waste management, and talking about the coalition's initiatives. I reached out to her because I wanted to give her a briefing of CROG's waste management project. And those of you who are on the policy board or keeping abreast of this, you know, we've just entered into contract with a firm, RRS, based out of Michigan, to assist us with that effort. So I wanted to reach out with the commissioner and give her a briefing to talk about, you know, what we're looking to accomplish with that project and to make sure that we're coordinating with DEEP to the extent possible. And I said I was just a little bit concerned about creating some confusion amongst our members with her call. And I suggested that we co-host this meeting next week, which she agreed to. So we will have a little airtime during that meeting to provide an update to our members regarding our waste management initiative. And then the commissioner will talk about what the department is working on. They will also be, her office will be nominating a staff member or a liaison to work closely with us on our initiative. And Robin and Pauline, I don't have the name of that person yet. I don't know if you do. But anyhow, the call with the commissioner went very, very well. Just wanted to make sure we were coordinating. And she's actually very appreciative of the fact that CROG is willing to step up and take the lead on some of these things. I talked about how we have a strong interest early on in our project and developing options for our communities to move to a pay-as-you-throw model if they haven't already. And also how we can work coming up with a handful of solutions for our towns to pull organics out of the residential waste stream and the commercial waste stream to the extent possible. And so she viewed the diversion, that's called those diversion approaches, very, very favorably. There's also an interest, though. There's also an interest on her part in seeing if any of our towns might have an interest in hosting what she's referring to as new infrastructure, or what would be the most contemporary version of a waste-to-energy plant with MIRA closing. And a little bit concerned about that being premature and getting ahead of our larger planning efforts. But at some point, I think we're going to want to introduce that into the conversation. And the fact that DEEP is willing to talk about it, I think, is an encouraging sign. As I think we all feel, you know, there's a certain threshold we can reach with respect to diversion strategies, but are we going to be able to solve our needs 100% through those approaches? You know, probably unlikely. And we're going to need to either improve the remaining infrastructure in the state or look at some number of new state-of-the-art facilities.
Great. Thank you, Matt. I may have just overlooked that invitation. What's the time on the 28th?
So the commissioner's office sent that out. Yep, 9 a.m., 9 to 10 a.m. on the 28th.
All right. Great. All righty. So, well, certainly it's great to be able to help build the start to build those relationships with DEEF on solid waste. I completely concur that diversion is important, but I don't believe we're going to be able to reach those very large tonnage numbers just solely through diversion. So I do think we, sooner rather than later in our process, we're going to have to start to talk about those other infrastructure facilities, if you will, just because it takes so darn long to develop pathways forward on those type of projects. So that's my perspective. All right. Anything else on the, I had one question on the budget software under staff reports. Was that sent out specifically to a variety of vendors, or was that just, you know, generally advertised, or how was that solicitation issued?
It was an open solicitation to all. It wasn't sent to specific.
But we didn't do any direct outreach to any list of vendors. It's just,
we did forward it to ClearGov. ClearGov and OpenGov, you know, a couple of the vendors who expressed interest to us previously regarding the software. So we did reach out to some individual vendors.
All right. Great. I just want to make sure folks are seeing it, and it just isn't inadvertently overlooked by the.
Yeah, and there's also a list of vendors on CT Source, Peter, that it was sent to as well.
Cool. All righty. Everyone all set on staff reports? Can we move forward to the next discussion item, which has been a topic that was raised probably over the course of the winter by a few, at least one or two members of the Municipal Services Committee. And so I think Matt, you want to take a kind of lead on this and kind of what some really early thinking that's been kicking around between you and I and Pauline?
Happy to do that, Peter. And then, you know, you and Pauline can add on. So as Peter explained, you know, some number of our members have expressed an interest in conducting a fire and EMS study within their own community. There are a number of towns within CROG that have conducted studies within the past couple of years. I know West Hartford has. I was there for that. The town of Mansfield, I believe East Granby has either recently completed one or has one underway. So in terms of our thinking here, and we'd like to get feedback from all of you, would it be helpful to invite some of our member towns who have recently completed studies to talk about how those went? You know, whether they went as planned and as designed, and if those towns found them to be informative and helpful. That's one idea. Another idea is CROG could actually take the lead in terms of conducting a competitive selection process to identify 2-3 or so firms that we think would be good candidates to perform studies within our region. So those are a couple of our early thoughts here. You know, one, inviting towns that have recently conducted studies to talk about their experiences. And the other idea being that CROG engage in some sort of competitive solicitation to identify a handful of consultants that you could choose from, because we would do much of the vetting for you as we do through the purchasing coalition.
Great, thank you, Matt. I think that's a great overview, but we are looking to see if this is something that is a relative priority for members. So I'm gonna open it up to all of you to chime in with your thoughts. Is this something that your community's been thinking of, either on the fire or EMS side? How can CROG play a role? How can we assist each other? So I'm going to open it up. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I've got a question. Matt, what type of study are you referring to? Is it like a strategic plan? Is it a benefits type, incentive type plan? What was the scope of the work of a plan that you're describing, whether you did in West Hartford?
Yeah, great question, Robert. And these studies, you know, they can take various forms, but quite often they will look at capacity to meet demand. You know, that would be a baseline. They'll look at capacity. They'll look at, oftentimes the studies will look at infrastructure and station placement to see how well that infrastructure is performing and meeting the community's current needs and anticipated needs. And then studies can also look at, and this is something we did in West Hartford, they can look at service options. For example, if you have an interest in getting into EMS, if you have an interest in performing BLS, if you're not doing it already, or ALS, or even transportation. And you know, the studies will give you some number of options if you want to move in that direction. So those are just some examples. I'm trying to think, and then I know Windsor, going back many, many years, you know, before Peter's tenure, Al Ilg, I'm sure many of us know and remember Al, he commissioned a groundbreaking study in the late, in the early 90s, I believe. Peter, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And Windsor's situation was having a large number of independent volunteer fire departments and looking at consolidating them into some sort of single entity. And I know that study was very, very useful for Windsor in that regard. So sometimes communities that rely primarily on volunteer departments will take that approach.
Okay, because it does seem like each town may have their own unique circumstances. You know, yeah. West Hartford having a paid department versus Canton, which has a hybrid department versus one which is primary volunteer. You know, the areas that you'd want that study to look at may be a little bit different. Canton's done, I think, all those studies at one time or another, but piecemeal. So we just looked at positions of fire stations when we just went, we're in the process of building a new fire station. When we raised our EMS to a paramedic level service, we looked at what are the EMS options and so forth. So we've kind of addressed those things, and we addressed them piecemeal when kind of the issue arose. Certainly, I think we'd be interested in participating in a study or in a consultant, if that's the direction that you go in.
Oh, thank you, Robert. And Peter, as we talk, I wonder if another idea could be to invite one or two consultants to come in, if they'd be willing to give us some time, and I'm sure they would, just to talk about the realm of what's possible. Because it really is, to some extent, an a la carte menu that you pick from based on your community's needs at that point in time.
Yeah, that's a thought, just to maybe bring us up to different, all onto a better understanding. I can imagine that we're all in different places. Even at a minimum, looking at just identifying who those consultants are, even if it's not a formal solicitation, but even just identifying it, so it saves us a little bit of legwork. Anybody else have any thoughts, questions? Anybody in the process of doing a study that we're not aware of, or recently done one that might be able to share?
Peter, Avon is probably, I'd say we're 3/4 of the way done with a study of our volunteer fire department. And it started out as, you know, with a 100% volunteer organization, they come to you every year with capital budget requests that then change every single year. So what we were looking for was a facilities and equipment long-term plan that was something that we could really stick to. And we'll be given that. They've brought in, we've been using the Center for Government Research. They're a firm out of Rochester, New York, and they've been very good. They brought in an architect. So they did a existing conditions analysis of all of our four stations. They also brought in a fire service expert to do kind of an inventory of all of our apparatus. And it also kind of became a recruitment and retention exercise as well, with, I'd say, the overarching goal of the study is how do we keep our department 100% volunteer as long as we possibly can? And then we're waiting for draft recommendations from the consultant right now. But what we're kind of hoping for is, in addition to a long-term capital plan, kind of some, you know, when we hit certain pressure points in terms of what are our responses, when we're getting only five members responding to structure fires, you know, for a specific amount of time, like at what point do we start adding paid members? Or at what point do we have to bring in, a facilities maintainer, you know? So that's kind of the toolkit we're hoping to get from it. I'm hoping we'll have a draft in July, so I'll let you all know how that goes. But if you're interested in talking to CGR, I would be happy to provide our contact information to Kim and Pauline.
Thank you very much, Grace. That's exactly what the town of Windsor has been struggling with. So finding those metrics, and so great.
It's been interesting.
Yeah, didn't realize you folks are undertaking that. So it's great. Anybody else have any thoughts? Anybody think would it be worthwhile to have, you know, someone like, you know, CGR or some of the other groups to come in and just, as Matt said, kind of just talk about the type of work that's out there and the things that we should be looking for. Obviously, every community is going to be different, but we all have commonalities. Any thoughts?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah. So similar to Ava, I mean, I think we're in a very similar situation here in Weathersfield, where our volunteers are quickly dwindling. The numbers are dropping a lot. We have very few respond, particularly during the day, you know, to structure fires. Before I came here in Stafford County, we did a very comprehensive standards of cover study for Stafford. Stafford is a hybrid system that went through a similar phase several years ago, where it was all volunteer, different volunteer stations all over the county, but it just wasn't serving the needs. So we transitioned to a hybrid. And what came out of the latest standards of cover is that in Stafford was that they were saying that we needed to go pretty much all professional with just some volunteer support, just because of the nature of volunteerism these days. And we even hired a volunteer coordinator and recruiter, and it just, none of it really made a huge difference. So I'd be very interested in the study that Grace is doing there, and absolutely working, having consultants on board. I've already talked to the chief here about doing a study like this, because we've got to get a handle on this sooner rather than later.
Great. Thanks for sharing, Fred. Robin had posted a question regarding how are these studies being funded. Anybody want to share that? I think there's one community I'm aware of just simply did it out of their general fund. They actually took the money out of the general fund reserve.
We just used a capital appropriation for fire facilities that we had on hand. With the volunteers, we kind of loosely appropriate funds and capital. We do it facilities and equipment, and it keeps it organized, but also somewhat flexible. So we had a balance. So that's what we used.
Grace, would you mind sharing what the order of magnitude cost-wise that you guys
It was about $80,000. Yeah. So, and I think that was, if I recall, that was post-negotiation. So it not cheap, but I'm hoping it will give us a roadmap for the next 20 years that will be useful. So.
And Peter, this is Matt again. West Hartford also treated its study as a capital project. Professional mm-hmm. services can qualify as a capital project once they reach a certain threshold. And
yeah.
I believe the project was a little bit less expensive than what Avon is looking at may not have been quite as comprehensive and actually was a few years ago before recent inflation. I think it was in the $65,000 to $70,000 range.
I'm curious, has any of the member towns been exploring a multi-town approach? I mean, we all have, many of us have had districts in, you know, within our own boundaries. And as Matt said, Windsor combined all of our, what was it, four separate fire companies. We combined into one town-wide volunteer department, as Matt said, about 25 years ago, at least. Anybody else been thinking about it on a multi-town beyond just simple mutual aid?
Just to share, we have a separate fire district, so we don't, as a town, provide that service, and EMS as well as a separate organization. So, you know, other than mutual aid, we haven't had those sort of conversations. But in terms of this discussion, I think it would still be interesting to at least hear where other people are at in terms of, particularly around the ambulance service, you know, level of service, what people's models are, that kind of thing. It would at least be beneficial to kind of be kept in the loop on the learning on that, even though we don't directly provide it.
Mm-hmm. So your district has its own taxing powers, correct? Simsbury does?
The fire district does, yep.
Bill rate. Yeah. So it looks like there might be interesting consensus to maybe bring a couple, see if there's one or two consultants that might be interested in at least sharing kind of the universe, the type of studies that are out there and that's my sense of it. I'm not sure if any, you know, if any folks have something different, maybe something we work into the fall timeframe, knowing we got plenty of stuff on our plate, but this is a topic that certainly to undertake a study, you know, it's a good chunk of time to do RFPs and line up funding and never mind the work itself. So Matt and Pauline, is that kind of give a little bit of direction and we can kind of put a little bit of flesh on the bones?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Look forward, Grace, to seeing, hopefully that study gets done in July. That will be awesome. And I'll go, and Fred, you're in, where was that? That was Stafford County, Virginia?
Yes, it was, Peter. Stafford County, Virginia. And I could even reach out to the chief there and get the consultant information for that one too.
Great. You think that study's out on the website still?
I don't know that they posted it on the website because the results were pretty shocking. I think they were kind of holding it back a little bit. They were proposing, you know, we have professionals, firefighters and EMS professionals on the order of about 200 people down there. It's a big county. And then volunteers as well. And they were proposing that we more than double that number in order to meet the standards of cover and create four new stations. Again, large county, 240 square miles, give or take. But yeah, that was a pretty huge investment that they were proposing in order to meet the standards of cover.
Right. So great.
Peter, just for the group, it's obviously Avon's is coming up in July. I believe East Granby's is going to be presented in July as well. And the other town in our region I'm aware of that's recently done one is Southington. I want to say that was probably a couple months ago. So,
Southington, I believe North Branford may have done one in the last year or so, Cheryl, as well. I don't know if that rings a bell with you.
It doesn't, but since they're not in my region, it probably wouldn't, but I can check into that too.
Yeah. So, yes, I expect the same thing I heard was East Granby sometime in the next 45 to 60 days or so. And I know, I believe they're looking at some hypotheticals in terms of regional coverage from East Granby is just to be able, just as a hypothetical, they're not recommending it, but they're just to get the as a discussion point is perhaps. So
that's my understanding as well.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll see if that got past the cutting room or not. So, okay. A topic that is certainly raised its head here in Windsor is the topic of Fair Rent Commission. And there's new state law out there and something that I believe one of the members had raised with staff. Can't remember, Matt, who that was, but I'll turn it over to you or Pauline to kick off a discussion regarding this topic.
Yeah, I'm happy to lead off, Pauline, and if you want to add on to it. So the suggestion here came from one of our members, Mike Maniscalco, town manager of South Windsor. So as Peter mentioned, a law passed in last session, House Bill 5205. Communities now with a population of 25,000 or more this is not discretionary, it's mandatory, need to establish a fair rent commission in their town if they don't have one already. So Mike's question was, could we consider a regional commission? You know, since so many of us struggle to recruit and find qualified members for the many commissions we have at a local level, is this something that could be done on a regional basis? And actually, I've been wondering about that for certain subjects. You know, where at the local level, we struggle to get local candidates to fill these important seats. Might we want to regionalize some of these things? So if there's an interest, we would be happy to pose a question to our attorney, to Bob DiCrescenzo, to see if a regional entity would meet the letter of the law. If it does not, perhaps that's even a statutory fix we could seek next session. Again, if there's an interest in thinking about this regionally, you know, we can talk about the pros and cons of a regional commission versus one that's specific to a particular municipality. So that's the idea. We have this new state mandate. Might we want to consider a regional body?
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. All right, I'm going to open this up to everyone. This is a topic that I think even for the smaller communities is going to be important with the crazy housing market that we have. So thoughts, is it worth it to have legal counsel explore the possibilities?
I think it would be. Logistically, I know we've had one on the books, a commission, for probably 30 years. They've never met, but I know we technically have at least a couple of the members that are still have active terms. For whatever reason, they've been reappointed, even though they've never met. But in terms of any other infrastructure, process, procedures, we're still trying to work through all of that in anticipation of this. So I think it's definitely worth looking into.
I just have a question. You know, being a town of 10,000, we don't have one here, but like you said, at some point it could be important to us, but I'm just curious, what authority does that commission have? You know, what exactly is their role and what authority would they have?
Robert, it's pretty limited in terms of what their authority, what they can do, quote unquote. It's really about the costs. It really is about the economics. And then the other housing and health codes are handled separately. But it really is, as I understand it, we're very similar to Simsbury. We've had one on the books for years. We haven't had to use it, but we've got probably a dozen inquiries in the last, you know, several months. So we're trying to get up to speed ourselves and reconstitute the committee. But it is, my read of it is pretty defined in what their role is. As another topic, there may be a role that CRAW can do for all of us in providing, you know, training, a toolkit, or even identifying there had been a couple communities that we had reached out to that have pretty active fair rent or rent commission or fair rent commissions, but those folks have, their legal counsel has left or their key person has left. So that might be something to look at around some training for.
Yeah, it just seems to me the less authority that they have, the better it may work on a regional basis.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody was coming into your community and actually setting your rental rates, you may want it to be more of a local type commission, but
yeah,
they don't have a ton of authority, then it may work better on a regional basis.
Yeah. Matt, you had raised your hand.
Yeah, Peter, I've got one important addition to your comments regarding the role and was dealing with this in West Hartford. And the commission, actually, they can take appeals. They can take appeals from aggrieved tenants,
right,
and aggrieved landlords. And actually, Superior Court now will look to see whether or not a tenant or a landlord bringing a case has exhausted their local appeals or their local process. And that would include a fair rent commission. I don't think they have the authority to set rent control statutes, Robert, but they definitely can hear appeals coming from aggrieved tenants or in some cases, even landlords.
Yeah.
It seems in that case, you need one to have at least somewhat some kind of administrative or judicial experience. So it might be good if you had a regional commission that had that expertise on it.
Yeah. There are set representatives that need to be on it. It's defined. And that's what Windsor's had in our case. We've had trouble filling those various slots, those different roles. I could see it as on a sub-regional basis where three or four towns could do it. That way they would something like that might still keep it somewhat local, but we wouldn't all be fighting to try to fill, a 5-member board or whatever it has to be. So, do other folks think it would be worth the time to ask, council for at least to find out if it can be done on a regional basis and what that process would be and maybe help tease out what the actual law says in terms of roles and responsibilities a commission might have or would have to have.
Peter, can I ask a question?
Please.
It might need to be posed to council. Actually, it probably would. So we're only a population of 19,000. So we're not subject to this law as I understand it yet. I don't know quite what our full build out population would be, but we're approaching that. So if there was a regional commission or even a sub-regional commission, would towns that don't meet the population threshold be required to partake if, as an individual, we wouldn't meet the threshold for the law? That would be my question. It may be in our best interest to partake regardless, but that's a question I would have.
The legislation only applies right now to communities of 25,000 or larger, but potentially under that scenario, Grace, a town with a smaller population that would like to have a fair rent commission in place or one that does, like Simsbury, maybe could opt in.
Is anybody on the call, Matt, you've had a little bit of history. Anybody else on the call actually have an active fair rent commission that's been up and running?
We do here in Wethersfield. It's been, it was very active when I first arrived. In fact, Bonnie was lamenting having to go to the fair rent commission meetings because there were two appeals before the commission, and it was tenant-based appeals. So they had to bring the landlord and the tenant in. They were trying to negotiate settlements with them. They were able to do that with both of those cases, but I think they're pretty much similar to a lot of things. It's complaint-based. So as we get the appeals, then we have the meeting. Otherwise, there's really no reason to meet, but they've been fairly active of late, I will say, according to Bonnie. before she left, but she was able to get the last issue resolved before she left. So I haven't heard of another appeal coming in yet, but I'm sure it won't be long, given everything that's going on now with the housing market.
Well, maybe some of us will need to pick your brain, Fred, get the procedures and as we start to ramp up here. But so it sounds like it, Matt, if it's not a significant undertaking for council to look at into the question, including Grace's question about opting in and so forth, and how that might be, if it's allowed under the enabling legislation, I think it would be worthwhile to get that.
We'll do that.
And if anybody has any good training, any resources for commissioner training and staff training for that matter, on this topic, please share it with us all, because I think it's something that at least in the next year or two probably isn't going to be going away. So I've always been advocating that that Hartford County should have a much better housing assistance and mediation entity. There's some other regions that I'm aware of that have nonprofit groups that have been set up that really do the mediation between tenant and landlords, and they don't have a nest. They don't have they can't make those decisions, but it's much, at least it keeps it out of our hair, and much more folks that have much more professional expertise than what we can get at, through a local volunteer board consistently, at least. So, okay. So Matt's going to tell us how we all can get money through the infrastructure program.
All right. I'm happy to lead off on this one as well. And then I can ask Pauline to add to my comments. So we're all excited about the potential with the bipartisan infrastructure law, or the IIJA. And Connecticut is slated to receive a little over $6 billion over a five-year period. And the COGS will play a major role, at least what the state has contemplated right now, in terms of vetting applications coming from their member towns, as well as preparing regional applications. Let's say that a handful of towns want to partner on an initiative, that's an area where CROG could take the lead. So our work here, we're in the process right now. We've got a recruitment underway to hire one, potentially two staff people working for CROG who would be assigned this responsibility. And their work would fall into, let's say, two big buckets. One, serving as a resource to our member towns, and they would read the federal notice of funding opportunities as they come out and digest the law and, prepare related documents for our member towns. Towns that are preparing an application, have questions, et cetera, could call in this staff person for advice and counsel. But then secondly, we want our folks to work on idea generation and putting together regional applications, applications that would cover two or more towns. So in terms of an application vetting process, what we've talked about thus far is we would use our existing transportation committee for everything that's transportation related. And we would potentially use this committee for everything else. And there are a number of other programs, as you probably know. High-speed internet, clean water, maybe stormwater and wastewater as well. Clean energy initiatives, resilience initiatives, other environmental programs. So this committee could play a significant role in terms of reviewing applications because the COGS are going to need to review the applications and make sure they're sound before they're forwarded on to the state for final approval for submission to the federal government. So if this committee is going to play a major role, you know, we've got a good, dedicated, loyal group on the line here today, and we've got a good, dedicated group that shows up each and every month, and we appreciate that. But I think we would also want to expand our membership to make sure that we're including a majority of our member towns. So that's kind of where we are. We're hiring staff people to serve as a resource for you all and for the COG overall, and also contemplating a significant role for this committee. Pauline, anything key I might have missed before we turn it back to Peter?
No, I don't think so. I think that the main thing is the NOFOs are going to start coming out fast and furious. Right now, the ones that are open are the broadband middle mile NOFO, which does not apply to us. I believe the state might be applying for that. And then the Safe Streets for All NOFO, which is due in September, which is the towns could definitely be eligible for that. And I would just say most of the grants require a 20% match. And depending on most of the competitive grants require a 20% match, which can be a heavy lift sometimes. And Commissioner Bautner is looking into possible state assistance in the match area.
So Matt, do you folks envision the role of Municipal Services Committee could be similar to what the Transportation Committee does with the LOTSIP review, that we, based upon the notice of funding availability, there would be some type of criteria or parameters set up that we would, this committee would evaluate against or score? Is that the model you're thinking of at this point?
Yes, both, you know, reviewing and vetting applications coming from member towns or coming from the region. But then another role, and this isn't one the Transportation Committee plays so much right now, and that is the brainstorming and idea generation piece. You know, coming together and thinking about regional projects and initiatives, you know, doing some actual brainstorming, because this process is going to be a little bit daunting for Connecticut in a couple of ways. Let me just use that Safe Streets for All as an example. And Transportation Committee's meeting next week. We've got a memo coming to them. The minimum implementation grant under that program is $5 million. $3 million for rurals. Some of our towns, you know, would really struggle to come up with an application for $5 million, you know, for that purpose. And then also being responsible for the match, the 20% match that Pauline just highlighted. And the federal government is really giving a priority to regional projects. So we got to think regionally. We got to think about projects that aren't just going to be impacting one town, but multiple towns. And so if we do that, what's going to be the vehicle? Who's going to be the official applicant? How are we going to come up with the match? At the end of the day, will we ask each town to be responsible for the infrastructure in its community? So there are a handful of critical issues we need to think of here. And that's where we think this committee could be helpful, both in terms of being a sounding board, but also coming up with some good ideas as to how to approach this regionally.
Mm-hmm. So lots of questions in my head. I'm not even sure I can articulate them well at this point, but what do other members that are online have that come to mind? Mark.
Thanks, Peter. This study, which was a CROG Route 6 Hop River Corridor Transportation Study done in 2013, I think it was over the top and it flipped out the towns that it was too ambitious, but there's many parts of the study that I know some of the towns involved, Coventry, Andover, Columbia, and Bolton are interested in. Is that something, Matt, where you could help pull these towns together? We take this off the shelf and really look at how to make Route 6 safer for all our travel requirements.
And I think that's a good example, Mark. And that particular one would flow through the Transportation Committee. But again, it's thinking regionally, right? And we've all got projects in our own communities, which are important to us. And I'm sure some number of those will be advanced. Also want to make sure we're thinking about regional initiatives. And really, what are some projects that would make us more competitive and enhance quality of life in our region?
Yeah. So, Matt, might I make this suggestion? Could staff look at and identify what areas of the infrastructure bill that may fall, that are non-transportation, that you think that would fall to the committee, that may be able to help frame it. I think we all have that information, just how we put it in a way that's in front of us.
Yeah.
And we can think of it through that, instead of thinking of it simply through our municipality lens, we can put it through that regional lens that you just noted. And then maybe that will help us kind of see where municipal services can fit in. Maybe there's an opportunity to have a time over the summer that we can, as many of us can get together, and we can just do a little bit of a structured brainstorming session based on, you know, a couple of those topics that are non-transportation in nature. So, and how do we pull off?
We can do that. Yep.
And how, you know, and again, going back to, you know, the regional plan of conservation and development, you know, using some of those things kind of similar to what Mark just did. Hey, we have a lot of stuff that we've got on the shelves that some may be a little bit dusty, some may be a little bit more contemporary, but what are some of those things that may fit into one of those areas, funding areas? So, I guess as a chair of the committee, that certainly is a lot of work. And to echo what Matt had mentioned, we have to make sure that we've got that beyond just a core group. We have to make sure that we've got the right representation from big, small, medium, communities that are, and able to think through. I guess I would look at staff does a great job with developing the annual LOCIP criteria. But that's going to be a little bit of a hard one here, because the notice of funding, it's going to have to, dissect those and then really come up with, but maybe there's a way of doing it that's not, all on the staff way as well. Maybe some of us have some staff people that can assist with some initial thinking and outlining parameters. But So
Peter, the suggestion, just to make sure I'm following, yep, we'll prepare a memo proposing a role for this committee and carry it forward as old business to the next meeting.
Yes, and I think the role, and then also outlining what some of the non-transportation categories are, and yep, see how well it fits with this. And with this group, I don't think there's a lot of public safety in there, so it wouldn't necessarily involve the public safety group, but we are kind of the catch-all, right? We're all good general managers, so we kind of get all of it. We don't, Pauline, our next meeting isn't, our next regular scheduled meeting's in September. I believe we may want to look at it, no scheduling might be hard, but we may want to look at something midsummer, just so that we're ready as these notices come out.
If I may, I think if hoping the EJET coordinator position gets filled quickly, sooner rather than later. That might be a initial task in terms of that person developing a little bit of a general framework for their criteria, and then convening a group in August, end of July, August, some time frame.
Okay. Yeah, but we'll see. Obviously, you guys have a lot on your plate, so that, you know, we gotta get a massage what that timeline might be. So, all right. Does anybody on the committee have any? Anything else regarding number 6 on the agenda? Not sure how. Great. All righty. Update on regional performance incentive program apps.
So I'll take this one, Matt, if that's okay. We are preparing applications for the ARPIP that was approved by the policy board. We are, if you responded to the original survey to say that you're interested, you're putting your name on the application. You're not committed to anything until post-grant awardee period. We will be sending out a very short survey, basically two questions to all the municipal services members and policy board members as sort of a last call of, are you interested in having your name on the application, basically? And that'll be going out tomorrow. We have a short turnaround time. I thought July 15th was a long time away, but it's not. So we are going to be, our goal is to complete all the applications by July 15th and give the participating towns a moment to review them if they so wish, and then we'll move things forward from there and submit them for the end of July timeframe.
Great. And those four areas: economic vitality, animal control, inspections, and shared assessors, correct?
Correct.
Great.
And actually, Hebron and Columbia are looking at making a regional animal control. We're actually meeting on it probably tomorrow to get closer. Can we be added to the RPIP application at this late a time to upgrade our animal control facility and get an animal control vehicle?
So we are looking at just the animal control officer portion, which could include vehicles. It probably would not include facility in terms of assistance with that, but we'll definitely add Hebron and Columbia to the list for the ACO and I don't know, we're still building the applications out. So vehicles TBD, if I may.
Okay, and we, it would be a person that would run the whole facility and manage the employees and have part-timers to cover the 24/7 requirements of animal control. So I can work that into a proposal and get it up to you.
Pauline, refresh my memory, the policy board endorsed those four focus areas, is that correct?
Correct, yep. Okay. And we do have another resolution before the Transportation Committee acting as policy board coming up, because the resolution that we passed did not specifically say that regarding the match. It was in the AIS, but it was not in the resolution itself. So we need a resolution that says we're going to put up 25% for the lifetime of the grant and fully fund it afterwards. So we do have that resolution before the policy board. But yes, those are the four areas that we're
approved. And the municipalities do not have to have a resolution at this point. It's only if the grant application is successful and the town then chooses to participate.
Correct. The municipalities actually never have to pass a resolution. We're just going to, in terms of our perspective, we figure you will be participating by putting up some funding for the match in order to participate. So it's, you'll be putting your money where your mouth is, and you don't have to pass a resolution.
Just money. as long as you don't break any rules appropriating money, right?
Correct.
All righty. Anybody have any questions for Pauline regarding the performance, regional performance grants? All righty. Thank you, Pauline. That's a... All righty. Number eight. You got any good stories to tell? Any information sharing? We done. So I don't see anybody raising their hand, so can't. So so as we mentioned earlier, there's no formal regular scheduled meetings for July or August, but there is that potential that depending on how the how fast we can move getting someone hired, maybe we have that conversation, a little bit of fun brainstorming conversation maybe in this summer regarding the infrastructure type of projects. I think someday I'll get my arms wrapped around all this infrastructure stuff, but I think I've attended 17,000 webinars and I'm still confused on what we might be eligible for or not. So, all righty. If there's no other items, we will stand adjourned.
So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
Next time, people can join me in this room. We'll feed you.
All righty, folks. Take care.
Thanks.